Good afternoon and welcome to Coffee Break, a podcast of Riverside County Child Support Services. My name is Nathan Hartel, Deputy Director with the Department, and it's my pleasure to welcome a very special guest to our program today. I'm going to give a little bit of an introduction because I think that our listeners are going to be blown away by this person's credentials, and then we'll introduce the topic for us today. So our guest today is a diversity, global leadership, and cultural competence speaker expert. She is a leadership coach. She is the person that is going to help us wrap our heads around diversity, equity, inclusion, and she's going to talk a little bit more about this, but I am pleased to share that she has lived, worked, been educated in 7 countries on 3 different continents. This person speaks 5 languages: French, Spanish, Arabic, Hebrew, English. Very impressive right there. She is somebody who has worked with Riverside County Child Support Services in helping to train our leadership on unconscious bias, diversity, these topics, things that we are hearing so much about today. And so it is my pleasure to welcome Sahar Andrade. Sahar, welcome to Coffee Break Podcast with Riverside County.
Thank you so much, Nathan. I really appreciate that. As you said, I worked before with Riverside County, and I just love the Riverside County, the Child Services Department, and with everything they do for their community. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's our pleasure to be speaking with you today. And we're going to start by addressing what very possibly is a shared question or thought that our listeners would be having that I had to kind of grapple with myself when we started talking to you about doing the podcast. So we're a child support podcast. This podcast is where we get together. We take a morning or an afternoon coffee break with our listeners to talk about all things child support related. And typically what we've done is, what is the child support process? How do you navigate through the court and the legal system? Things like that. So what are we doing today, talking with you about diversity and equity and inclusion related to child support? And the more I thought about it, I thought, this is potentially the most relevant topic that we could be doing, because at the core of our mission as a public service agency, and we don't ever want to lose sight of that, we are public servants. At the core of that is our customers. They're all the residents of Riverside County and some surrounding counties. They are the constituents that we serve, and our values and our mission place such high importance on how we treat our customers that understanding this topic better, I think, is arguably one of the most important things that we can do today. So we're going to get into some of that. We're going to talk about some definitions, Sahar. We're going to ask you to help us better understand these terms, what they mean, connections to customers that would come in to receive our services. And so one of the things that we know, and I wanted to share this with you, Sahar, if you didn't know, we have spent at Riverside County Child Support Services the last 5 years participating in a grant related to what is called procedural justice. Procedural justice is the idea that, and we'll speak directly to child support, as a child support customer, the amount of child support you are court ordered to pay and your willingness to comply with that order and actually pay it has so much more to do with how you're treated in the process than it has to do with what the actual dollar amount is. And so we have participated in this grant, learning all about what it means to respect, have understanding, give a voice to our customers. These things are at the heart of what it means to be an employee of child support services. So I guess it's really because we care so much about how we treat others and that we want to better understand diversity, equity, inclusion, to kind of help frame what that interaction looks like with our customers. So I wanted to kind of put that out there for you, Sahar, and let you know that, and our listeners, that we're involved with that. We value that. That is so important to us. And, it might be a good idea to start with some definitions. And then as we go through our conversation, we're really going to kind of hone in on some of the, if that's the reason why this topic is important for our child support customers to listen to, well, what specifically and practically can they take away from it? We're going to get into that. So Sahar, if I could, I'd like to ask you just to share a little bit more about who you are, what you do, your area of expertise, and then fill in some of those definitions and those terms for us to help frame our conversation today.
Absolutely. Thank you. So like you mentioned, my name is Sahar Andrade, and I started my own company, which is Sahar Consulting, 10 years ago. And because I felt that there is a need for diversity and inclusion. At that time, it was only diversity and inclusion. I mean, it has been evolving since then. And why I decided to do it, because like you said, I lived in seven different countries, and a big part of my career, I did consult for international airlines where I would go to different countries opening new offices for these airlines based on the culture and based on the guidelines and HR rules for every single part of these countries, and to also negotiate if it's going to be something that is going to be money-wise worthy for the airline or not. So by doing that, I was lucky enough to start dealing with people from different backgrounds, people from different cultures, people from different thoughts. And it came to me that I love this so much. And for me, dealing with people from different backgrounds became a second nature to me. And I decided to bring that to, I don't want to say the general public, but to bring it back to everybody else. And I also thought that, okay, a lot of people do that already. Some are better than others. And I said, what will be unique about what I will offer? So I had to dig down, and I was educated as a psychiatrist. I went to medical school and graduated as a medical doctor with a minor in psychiatry. I never practiced medicine. I just got the bachelor's, and I'm good with them. I got two bachelors of science. And I started applying the basics of neuroscience and on science to diversity, inclusion, and now in conscious bias. Because when we start discussing from a very scientific point of view, why bias? Why do we have it? We give people space to feel safe that we are not accusing them from being racist or they are bad people that they need to change something inside of them, but actually to educate them and to raise their self-awareness on how to minimize their bias, because we can never get rid of bias. We cannot eradicate bias. And I hear a lot of people say that we are going to do this training and we're going to remove bias totally. It can never be removed because it's part of the function of the brain. And we're going to talk about it, I know, in this on this podcast, but it's about how the brain works. So becoming aware of it and educating people about it will help it minimize it. And you said it in such an elegant way in the beginning that what does unconscious bias have to do with child services? I'll tell you everything. Because behind every legal case that we have, behind every file number that we have, behind every payment that we are receiving or giving to someone that needs it, there is a person. It's a human being. And in a lot of organizations, they miss that. They miss the humanity on how they deal with people. And this is one of the things that I just love about Riverside County, working with your department, the Department of Child Services. I know that this is very center into your mission, vision. It's part of your DNA. And you are aligning your vision, mission, and core values with what you do. You're not like the other organization that just put glitzy words on a website and don't apply it. You live it day in and day out. You breathe it, and it's part of your DNA.
You know, I appreciate you saying that. One of the things, Sahara, that comes to mind as you're talking about that, we truly do value that to the point that you're saying it, where it is part of our DNA, it's what we live and breathe. But the child support program has had such an evolution over the years that there's a gap between how the public often perceives us and how internally, as public service employees and members of Riverside Child Support, you know, how we view ourselves, how we view how we provide services, and even the extent that we go to train our leaders and our staff to approach our customers in an appropriate, you know, caring way, respectful way, that's not always shared and perceived the same way by the public. So I thought that was another reason why talking to you would be so great, because for those listeners who have a child support case with us, I absolutely want them to know they are not just a case number. They're not just a court docket number, and they're not even just the dollars that we collect. That is what we do, right? Exactly. You know, we are here to collect support and get financial and medical support to families. But there is a person, there is a story, there are their own, as customers, their own biases coming in. And as much as we may train ourselves, you know, internally in our employees, like you said, those biases are there. So I thought that's all the more reason, right, to have this conversation, because we strive to bridge that gap and to bridge the public's perception of us closer and closer and closer to what we aim to be and provide in terms of our services. So it sounds like it matches up just perfect.
Exactly. And it's about, you know, you are advocate for your customers. You are the voice that some of them don't have. So this is part of what you do. And that's why I so much admire what you guys do. Like you said earlier, definition, because you mentioned perceive, and perceptions is basically the base of bias, or one of the bases of bias. Perceptions are our realities, but they're not the same realities as everybody else, because the perceptions are different from one person to the other based on their culture, based on their experience, based on their background, based on what they went through, based on how they grew up, their family. So I always like to shed some clarity about some definitions in a very short manner to make sure that we all are starting from the same point. Because still today, we are 2021, and few people still believe that diversity is about color, ethnicity, race. But diversity actually is, yes, it's about race, it's about ethnicity, but it's about gender. And gender is non-binary. And then we have the ages. We need to remember that in the United States, we are now 6 different generations. And in the workplace, we have 5. We have the silent generation, which is the oldest. We have the baby boomers. We have the Xers. We have the millennials, or Y, and we have the Z. The Z are anyone from 5 to 26 years old. So, and every single generation comes with its own culture. And culture, again, doesn't mean ethnicity and race. Culture is the lens that we see the world through, no matter who we are. And it's dynamic, it's ever changing. But we forget that other people have different different lenses. It's also about sexual orientation, and it's about disabilities. Disabilities that are visible and non-visible. It's about education. It's about type of work, blue collar, white collar. It's about learning styles, communication styles, parental style, military style, marital style. And it's definitely socioeconomic. It's about the diversity of thoughts. So it's basically the unique characteristics that make us as human beings.
So thinking about all of that, coming in the door of a local child support office with each person that comes in to receive services, there's a question that comes to mind. Maybe you can help me wrap my head around this.
Sure.
So as a customer, let's talk a little bit about expectations. As a customer coming into a public service agency, needing support, needing help, how much should they expect to have those things considered by the agency in which they're looking for help from? And then on the flip side, as employees of a public service agency, how much should we be aware and in that moment as we're providing those services, filtering through all those different things that you mentioned that add up to diversity? You know, how does that practically come together in those situations, and how much should people be thinking about it in those moments and working through it? Or is this something that's, you know, kind of, you know, more, you know, a higher level of it's about education and it's about changing your thinking. But when you go into these places and you're really practically interacting, you know, can I really expect people to be thinking about those things in that moment? So I don't know if that's a politically correct answer or a question or not, but that's something that I have thought about before. And I think that's something that our listeners, you know, might be curious about. So I'm hoping you can kind of help us with that.
Absolutely. First of all, I don't believe in political correctness, Nathan. So thank you for mentioning that. Political correctness means that we are walking over eggshells.
Yeah, you're right.
And we will never get together. We will never unite if we are faking it. I rather have real talk based on respect than that. And that's why, I think you know me by now. I'm very straightforward. I don't believe in political correctness because it does not have an impact and it does not bring results. So to answer your question, I will start with the employees, for example. The employees and I have been into different, as you know, I deal with different counties and different cities, you know, a lot of government agencies. And sometimes the bias of an employee can take over. What we don't sometimes see if a customer is coming in and they are already angry and they are demanding things is like it translates in something different in our brain if we are not aware of our own bias. So we need to think that customer might have, it's 9 o'clock now, they might have to leave their home at 3 o'clock in the morning because they had to take 3 different buses while it has been raining and they don't have an umbrella and they're going through very hard conditions at home. So that's why they are angry. So my job as offering services, part of child services, is to absorb that using my empathy. And empathy is a muscle. Empathy is something that if we practice day in and day out, it becomes part and automatic habit of who we are. So it's important for us, you know, I have seen some people, I have, and again, I'm not just saying that because I'm doing the podcast for Riverside, because I know how the leaders and the management at Riverside works and how they educate the employees and how the employees actually serve the community the right way. That some feel that the client is here because they're trying to abuse the system. This is bias, okay? And it, bias doesn't necessarily mean it's true. This is from the, so the best way we can do as providing, as service providers, is to make sure that our people are trained. Our people are trained on emotional intelligence that starts with self-awareness and how to manage our emotions and how to develop empathy. Empathy here means that we are putting ourselves in other people's shoes without trying to fix them and without feeling sorry for them. As far as the client or the customer coming, first of all, they're going through very hard condition that is already affecting the way they think and affecting their mind. And they are coming into a government agency assuming that you're here, you have a cushiony job, you have a retirement, you have a salary, but you are going to do everything by the book. You are bureaucratic, so I actually have to fight for what I need. If not, I'm not going to get anything and I'm not going to get help. And this bias, actually, or this stereotyping, if you want to call it, if it's pushed, it's based on a lot of things that an experience that someone else has that shared it with them. It could be something they saw on TV. It could be something that they heard from a friend or from a family member. So all these gut memories come into play when they have to deal with a child services department. So these are all biases.
Yeah, and we deal with a lot of that. I mean, we have still today a number of customers who are going to naturally think, if they are a father, for example, they're going to think that we are really not here for them. We're really here to help the mothers.
Yes.
And you're also going to have customers who are mothers who are going to think, I'm going to use these services and this agency as a way of going after, and yes, we'll use an old term, going after the deadbeat dad. So all these things are coming into our building. They're coming through a phone line. Even when we're chatting and talking with people, you know, through texting, all these things are being encountered, you know? And so to me personally, I find it kind of a relief to hear you talk about empathy as a response to all of that is potentially, you know, coming in and being involved with each individual, because I can absolutely control my response to somebody. I can do my best to put myself in their shoes, as you said, without judgment and without trying to fix them. Because the moment that you do, though, and here I, you know, I'm just providing an opinion. I'm not the expert, you know, like you are, but I would imagine that the moment you try to fix or judge, you have just ruined the empathy. You've gone to a completely different place and you're not being empathetic anymore. And you've probably lost that connection and that relationship that you're trying to build. And that really is what we're trying to do. We're trying to build relationships, because at the other end of this discussion is, again, monetary support and financial support that we're trying to collect and acquire and get to a family, which could be a mother, a father, a grandparent, a guardian, you know, so that it can help support the basic needs of children. And, you know, when you think about the reality that, you know, we are, as a child support program, just as the program in general, we are one of the biggest anti-poverty programs in the nation. Understanding this and then knowing how to build those relationships, it's key. We have to get that down. So it's great to hear you talk about how this all works and comes together.
And of course, it depends on how emotionally intelligent you are. And it's about, believe it or not, Nathan, is about conflict resolution with emotional intelligence 101. It all comes down to that, to proper customer service, to proper training of the employees. You know what I mean? And remember, employees are human beings as well. We don't know when they left their home, what was going on in their home as well. They might be going through the same exact situation that the client is going through, and maybe that can give them even more empathy, but they can also, their state of mind might not be there as well. So it's about empathy all around. And I know we cannot demand empathy from our clients, but through our kindness and our empathy and our awareness and education, we can bring the level of frustration or anger down, especially when we make them feel that I'm with you, I'm not against you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to try to make your life better. And whatever it will take, we are in this together.
You know, believe it or not, and I'm sure you will believe it, that is what we try to do, right?
I know.
We want to be in it together with the customers. And I have said this myself, going back a number of years when I was a case manager myself, and I've heard, you know, others say this to customers, those very things. They're hearing and fielding complaints, concerns, frustrations, and will say things like that. We're here with you. We want to partner with you. But those are sometimes met with, no, you don't understand. Or even more pointedly, you are doing or saying the things you're doing, you know, as an agency, because I am. And then they'll fill in the blank with something related to race, culture, gender, those kinds of things. And so how do you specifically respond to that then as an employee, when maybe your efforts to respond with empathy are met with something so much more specific? How do you navigate that?
First of all, when we say, I'm with you, we are in this together, we have to think, how are we delivering this? How are we delivering this with our facial expressions? Are we looking at them? Are we making eye contact? How is our body language? What is our tone of voice? That's what I'm saying, conflict resolution 101.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and it just, because I can tell you, you know what, Nathan, I'm seriously here to help you. We are in this together. No matter what we do, we are going to get you a solution. If it's not today, it will be tomorrow. I will never rest till I make sure that you get what you deserve, versus saying, listen, we're here together, so let's see what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, you're not even seeing me. You're just hearing my voice. And there is a huge difference in the delivery.
There is a big difference. And you mentioned voice. And one of the things that we have learned, you know, over the years is that there can absolutely be a tendency to try to resolve things as quickly as possible, answer questions as quick as possible. But the word voice reminded me of this. When you give the customer voice and you give them the okay to take the time that is needed for them to express themselves, express their concerns, share with you as an employee their story, I mean, it just opens up a whole world of possibilities for that resolution that you're talking about, because that you then have somebody who actually believes you when you say, we are in this together, and you know what? We're going to work through this. We're going to find a solution. Maybe even the answer to what you want is no, but hey, we're going to explore other things. So, you know, we have found that just allowing for that time to hear them and give them the ability to speak and talk through what they have been going through and what their story is, has been invaluable.
A lot of people sometimes don't even need you to find a solution. They just need to vent and feel validated.
That is true.
In their emotions. So again, it comes back to how you onboard your employees, how you train your employees, what are your KPIs, how do you build your performance evaluation for them. So it has two sides. It has the customer side and it has the organization side as well.
Yeah, and I think that's a good place there to just kind of bring it around to where we started and remind our listeners that, you know, they're hearing us talk about things like, you know, evaluations and, you know, onboarding of staff, which is, you know, how you bring new employees into an organization. And again, I want to be very much aware of who our listeners are and who we're trying to reach, which is, yes, our child support employees, but even more so, it's the public who already uses our services or maybe thinking about using our services. When they hear those things, I don't want them to tune out. I want them to pick up on that as significant to them because they're hearing what it means to use our services. They're hearing about who we are, what we value, and that when they come see us,
and it,
you know,
means
they are engaging with people that care.
Yeah, exactly. And that means that we care, that we can provide them with the best services ever that will tend to their needs, because it's about them. It's not really about us.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great advice. You know, I know that you've had so much experience in working with, you know, public agencies. You know, thinking about our customers and, you know, the thoughts and the comments you shared about, you know, their culture and all the things that add up to diversity that come in the door with them. Is there anything that you have learned where you could give a practical piece of advice to our customers as they come in to speak with us that you think, based on your experience, would help them to know how to, you know, use all of that to navigate the system, to get the results that they need, and to not feel like they, you know, are not being heard, if that makes sense. You know, so thinking about the customer side of it, what have you seen that would be like a really practical piece of advice for our customers?
I will ask the customers to think this way. When someone is coming to ask you for help, how would you want them to ask you? Do you think if that person that wants your help will start screaming and yelling at you and pointing a finger at you, would you be inclined to really go the extra mile for them? Or are you going to do just what is necessary to be done? Mm. You know, and the answer is very clear.
Yeah.
So don't come in with good intentions. At least give people the benefit of the doubt, and then you can make your decision.
You know, and Sahar, that's one of the reasons that I respect you very much and appreciate your thoughts on this, and our listeners should be paying attention to what you're saying. You're giving the same advice on both sides.
Yes.
If as employees, we need to be putting ourselves in someone else's shoe, you just share the same advice with our customers. And I think that's great. You know, it really is a two-way street. It cannot be one, side of this equation trying to carry the load of empathy alone. So that's great advice. Can you help us understand unconscious bias a little bit more? And I want to try to find a balance here of, keeping it practical and real. But I do want to, you know, give you time to flesh that out for our customers and help us really understand what that means when we talk about unconscious bias.
Absolutely. So first of all, we all have unconscious bias. Is what we do with it that really matters. It's exactly like anger. We all have unconscious bias, but is what we do with it. Unconscious bias is one of the basic functions of the brain for survival. In a very simple form, our brain needs shortcuts so it can keep functioning in a very fast way to accommodate our lifestyles. Whenever the brain has gaps in thinking or doesn't have answers for a certain question, it makes up its own answer to create an illusion of order. And that's what bias is. Bias is when we classify people in boxes that we pull information from. And it's done in a multi-second. And that's why most of our judgments are not correct unless we do it consciously. And remember, unconscious bias, meaning that it's unexamined, that we are not conscious that we're doing it. So unconscious bias is basically the beginning of it came from the download of patterns and behaviors of our first contact in life, which are our parents. Unconscious bias also is called a blind spot. So if our parents had blind spots, guess what happens? We get it. And if we are not aware of it, we pass it to the next generation, and the next generation pass it to the next generation. A blind spot is exactly when we drive a car. In a mirror, when we drive and we have a blind spot, if we get into an accident because of that blind spot, it might not be our fault, but it's 100% our responsibility. So our bias is our responsibility. So when we get that knee-jerk reaction, or when we see someone and all of a sudden we say, oh, my gut tells me that they are not good people, or my gut tells me that we're going to get along really well, all that is a form of bias. There are at least 50 types of biases. So whatever, when we start grouping people in boxes, this is where our survival is. Or this is what bias is, because our brain never changed since the caveman, where it was kill or be killed. And we always have to be like making sure that we feel okay in our comfort zone. And that's what bias do. It always put us in a comfort zone, so it will protect and defend us.
Very interesting. I love the analogy of the car accident, you know, and it may not be our fault, but it's our responsibility. And what that makes me think about is, you know, because you mentioned that these unconscious biases are exactly that, unconscious, they're unexamined, I think was another word that you used for it.
Yes.
So, you know, what do you do if you find yourself in a, you know, as a customer in a conversation, you know, with Child Support Services, or you know, a child support employee in a conversation with a customer, and you discover that something that you have said or a manner in which you have responded, could be body language even, you did not intend for it to be offensive. You didn't even know potentially it was happening in the moment. And so, you know, maybe using that analogy, you would say it's not my fault, but you're immediately aware the accident has happened. And now you have to deal with the ramifications of that and the impact of that. How do you take responsibility in that moment in a conversation to de-escalate things? You potentially have, you know, really offended somebody. You didn't do it on purpose, but you recognize it as, oh my gosh, I can't believe that maybe that came out. How do you recover from that? How do you, in the moment, help to heal with the other person that you have said or done or acted in a way that was offensive?
Like what a good driver would do. I will get out of my car. I will go to the person. I will check if they are okay. And I will ask them, you know, I'm sorry this happened. What can we do? So this is the same thing. It's the same analogy. If I am a customer and I said something wrong or something that I felt triggered the person in front of me, because our body language never lies. So if I feel that I said the wrong thing, or I was too angry and I let something escape me, and then I feel like I shouldn't have said that, I would just say that, you know what, I'm so sorry, I'm really angry, and I'm sorry I said that, I never meant it that way. It's very important that we take responsibility and accountability of our actions, and most of all our wording, because words carry weight. And that's what we need. If I do a mistake, we have to be humble enough. We are human beings. We are all subject to doing mistakes. It's about recognizing it, being accountable for it, and apologizing for it. Like, I'm sorry, I'm angry, please forgive me.
Which is not always an easy thing to do.
No.
You know? I mean, it takes courage to be humble in that moment.
And it's cultural too.
Yes, that's true. It is. And so you have to, work through that too, because you may be expecting from the other person a particular response or apology, and maybe that's an inappropriate expectation. Does that kind of thing ever happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, for example, I was born in Egypt. I come from a culture where if you say, I'm sorry, it's a sign of weakness. And it took me my whole life to meet my husband. My husband is a fifth generation Hispanic, to learn that saying I'm sorry is actually a sign of strength, because you are taking responsibility for your actions, and this is what as human being we should do, and I understand the client and the customer could be under so much stress and so much pressure that they are slowly losing hope. And the person in front of them might only be their only hope. And if something is not what they want to hear, they can shift to the other side. But try to give that person the space to help you. Because let me tell you, for 99% of these people, they are doing this because this is their mission. This is their why. They want to help you. They want to be there for you. They want to be your voice. So give them that space to be able to help you.
That's great, great advice. Yeah, I mean, that's advice that not only do I hope that our customers are listening to and taking to heart, but that our staff and our employees are using as a reminder. It strikes me as we're talking that such weighty topics as diversity and inclusion, when you really start working through it, you're talking at its core about your response to other people. You're talking about consideration, thoughtfulness, time, attention. You're talking about things that if you have the training and the awareness of unconscious bias, of diversity, and you have some of that going into it, you need to then respond practically through just kindness and honesty, humility, things that most people would say they know they should do, but it's not always that easy to do in reality.
But it's human basics.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's at the core of who we are and what we do. And as I think through again, just the child support program, and I think about all the different stages of what happens when a customer has an open case with us and the whole process. I mean, they not only are encountering us, but there is a legal process. They may be going to court. They're doing all those things. And, Sahar, as child support employees for Riverside County, we can't always control what other people are doing in their situations, so we have customers
Nathan, we can control our reactions to what they do.
That's true.
100%.
Yeah. And, the reactions what happens sometimes I find is that we are then having to respond to a customer about another individual's reactions. And I don't mean to paint anybody in a bad light, but I'll just use, court as a general term, to talk about this. So a customer who is engaging with a court commissioner, with attorneys about their child support case, and then at a later date or in our office talking with the child support case manager, maybe expressing to us frustrations that they had in an experience outside our office with people who are connected to the child support program. And, maybe they experienced an offense. Maybe they experienced, something that, they felt like did not take into account, their side of the story. And now we have to respond to that. And I think that we have to put the same effort into being empathetic and considering all these things, even if it wasn't us directly that had that encounter with them. But that, I think that's an extra level of difficulty that public service employees can find themselves dealing with.
Yes. And this is what I would do. I would listen to them and I would let them vent. And I will tell them that I understand what you're saying. And probably if I was in your shoes, I would have felt the same way. And this is validation. But this is what we can do moving forward. And this way you are shifting their mindset from negative to positive. from a problem to a solution. This is what we can do moving forward. And this is what I can start doing now. And this is what I can do in a week. And this is what I can do in a month and so on. So you shift their mindset from negativity to positivity.
That sounds great. That's an excellent way to respond to that. Sahar, I want to make sure that in our time together today that you have an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can learn more about you. So in a minute here or so, as we start to wrap our time up, one of the things that I usually do in our podcast, because it is called Coffee Break, I'm always drinking a cup of coffee, and even though I think it was like 102 degrees outside, you know, at the time I sat down to do this, I'm still drinking a hot cup of coffee, but it's almost empty. And when my cup is empty, typically we are approaching the end of our podcast time. And so I want to kind of wrap this up. I mean, there's too much here to keep going for one of our regular length episodes, but you have a tremendous amount of additional information that our listeners could benefit from. You have done TED Talks, you have done seminars, you have been a speaker in so many different places, and I know you have your own website. So I want to do this. I want to thank you, number one, for being on our podcast. I want to thank you for talking to me about these topics. It's helpful to me to hear an expert such as you provide such practical advice on how to navigate issues such as diversity and equity and inclusion. I want to then ask you if you have any closing thoughts, advice for our customers or our staff, or is there anything about this topic that you really wanted to get to in today's episode that we haven't done yet?
Sure. I would actually, I always suggest this to everyone. Value people for who they are, but not who you want them to be. Because everybody has value. And when you value people, they give you value back. Words. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's great advice. I didn't mean to cut you off, and please keep going. But yeah, it's great advice. And we do truly value each individual that comes to our office.
I know. And it goes both ways. They need to value people that are helping them and not perceive or presume how they want them to act and say. Just to let them help them, because they're here to help them and this is what they have in their heart. The other thing is that words carry power. Words can be weapons and can be kindness. So we have to remember that, you know. The last thing that I want to say is our differences can actually make a difference of the world. And the one thing that I didn't mention is that diversity is not only about differences, but it's about our similarities as well. No matter which side we are, we need to remember, either customer or customer service agents, we need to remember that on both sides, we are human beings. That if we apply the basics of human basics, like kindness, respect, dignity, we can have a lot better results than fighting and bickering and someone calling someone else a name. It doesn't help anybody's service. And I do understand the difficult environment that someone can be coming from. But as a customer, you don't know if the agent on the other side is going through the same exact issue that you're going through or not. I have met people working in organizations and they were homeless, but they went every single day with a smile, trying to help their clients. So we can never predict what is the other person is going through. And that's why kindness goes really, really a long way. Wow. That's how I feel, Nathan.
Excellent. Very, very well said, Sahar. Thank you so much. I appreciate you spending time with us today. I would like to, again, like I said, make sure you have an opportunity to share. How can our customers get more information about you? Where sure. can they see all the things that you're up to and places that they can learn more about you and what you teach?
Sure. So my website is www.coffeebreakcoaching.com. saharconsulting.com. Sahar is S as in Sam, A-H-A-R, consulting.com. I have also a big library of videos on my YouTube channel under Sahar Consulting. And on my website, I offer a form. If you have your name and email address, I'll keep you on my mailing list and I'll send you my newsletter that has blogs, that has news, that has tools to help you maneuver our diverse world. You know, it will tell you where I am, if I'm doing any public speaking. Again, my website is saharconsulting.com and my email is sahar@saharconsulting.com.
Excellent.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you so much. So to wrap things up for our listeners, I really hope that you got something great out of today's episode. And if you're one of our existing customers, I hope that you are listening to this. And it's a reminder that we do care about you as an agency. We care about your family. We care about how well we treat you. And when we say that, we don't just say it because it's the right thing to say or because it's part of a mission statement. We say it because we do our very best, and we may not always be perfect at it. Certainly nobody is, but we say it and we try to put it into practice and do it because we do truly care about each one of our customers. So we will be signing off in a moment. To our listeners, please remember to subscribe to our podcast. You can find us, Coffee Break with Riverside County Child Support Services, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, and virtually any other podcast platform that you can find out there. Follow us on our website at rivcodcss.com, social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're there for you as well, providing information. And we have done a variety of virtual workshops to provide education to our customers on different child support related topics. Please feel free, listeners, to head over to our social media platforms to find those from the past and take advantage of that. We will have an open Saturday event on July 10th, where we open our services up for a handful of hours on a Saturday. So please feel free to call in and take advantage of that as well. And with that, thank you very much, and we will talk to you next time.